Messianic Bible College. That's tomorrow. All right. Well, welcome to Soldiers for Christ on a Wednesday night. I got David with me, a guy who's married to a supermodel named Joel. And so we're going to pray in, and then we'll get started.
All righty. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we pray. We ask you to bless us in this evening, to guide us in your word, help us understand your word. Let your Holy Spirit teach us, and let the word penetrate in the deepest parts of our hearts.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we ask for the anointings of your Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, David. It's a great name. Wow. Okay. I got this card from Dave. Okay, so he wrote this letter, right? And I'm going to do this fast because I have a great Bible study tonight. I don't know if I can read both of them, but it says, I have been watching you for years. The Holy Spirit indeed sent me to you. Glory to our Lord God. I have learned much through the teaching from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have believed so strongly in the possibilities of the rapture and his glorious coming. Wow. Now, this is from a guy, his name is Dave. He doesn't write his last name. There it is. Yeah. Dave, STUPKEL. And I don't know. But anyway, thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. I'll get a hold of you later. God bless you. And then, you know, my friend Karen, she sent all of this stuff. She's always sending us a lot of cool stuff.
Amen.
I'm not eating this, though. And Valentine card. My wife says she doesn't mind. She likes your singing. This is a card from... Oh, this is from Rosie. So praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Rosie. Praise God. Yeah, I'll read that. Well, I will get into reading this stuff tomorrow. I have such a good Bible study tonight. And look at this watch. Who sent you that beautiful watch, Pastor? Did Karen send you that?
I think so.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Nice.
Pastor Ben?
Amen.
It's a wonderful gift. Thank you. And then something's in here, so I'm going to wait till tomorrow for all of that. And I wanted to say to someone, to Karen, I guess Karen sent the card, these two, huh?
The
mailbox broke them up, though. They didn't package them well.
Yeah.
So they're broke, but they were beautiful. I still got the coffee creamer and the sock for, because Abigail's feet are cold sometimes. And now we call this, what is this, Christmas Wednesday? Yeah, Christmas Wednesday. And then, oh, that's the Valentine card. Let me put that over there. And, Pastor Ben, give me the name of the person that sent these, because she emailed me and I clicked her that I got it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
It was from
Philippians 4:13.
Bristol.
And it's a football guy that's got Arlene Bristol. Thank you so much. This is so personal. This is nice.
And me and Nicole got ours, and they are awesomely beautiful.
And look at Drea. She'll be here late, but she'll see it when she gets in. Because, you know, we are coffee people.
Yeah. Awesome.
Coffee.
Nicole, thank you.
I have my own coffee shop at home, Sandy Bucks. Yep. Well, see, a piece of candy fell off of the thing and I almost put it in my mouth. And the cookies. Now, our friend Justin.
Yes.
He sent his updated copy of his book. He came here and spoke before, did an excellent job when he spoke. And so now I'm going to read
Justin.
This updated book. And thank you so much for all your faithfulness in the ministry. God bless. God has called you to, and it is an inspiration. I'll read the rest tomorrow during class, but I know if he's got more, the first book was just incredible. Hallelujah.
Earlene chatted, she said, you're very welcome. She said she's glad we enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to enjoy it tomorrow morning.
Mine is sitting on my desk.
Yeah. Awesome. So, are you guys ready for it? She said it's going to be deep. This is kind of deep. I don't know if I'm going to need the board, Pastor Ben, but if you could get me a marker, just in case I do need it, but I don't think I'm gonna. Hello, everybody out there in YouTube. The name of this message is The Last Clue Before the Departure, and God is incredible. I'm like, you don't have anything else to show me. That would be impossible.
You need to erase.
And he does. No, I don't need an eraser. I don't need an eraser. I just need this black marker. And then you could take that back. Thank you. All right. Just in case I need it. All right. We're going to start off today. Let me explain kind of what this Bible study is about. And I'm going to try to give you kind of, you know how you watch a trailer before you watch a movie so you know if it's worth your time? I'm going to try to give you a little trailer so that you can see what's going on. Now, this is a very important question. You know, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son. And then the flood happened in the 120th year, right? So, and Moses died when he was 120. So that brought judgment on Moses. After Moses died, who took over? Joshua. So Joshua took over. So Moses dies at 120. Joshua takes over. And it's biblical because Moses represents what? The law, right? And the law cannot take you over to the promised land. You need Yahshua or Jesus, right? Which is the same name in Hebrew. So Joshua takes them over across the Jordan. And so in the 120th year, Moses died. In the 120th year, Joshua takes them over to the other side before the new year begins. I want you to understand that, okay? Because the question asked is, once he died in the 120th year, he didn't take a whole another year before he crossed them over the Jordan. It was like within, and then it was before Passover. It was before the 10th of Nisan. We can't determine how soon it was, but it was before Nisan, and it was before the 10th of Nisan, and it was before Passover. They were already crossed over. Matter of fact, they celebrated Passover on the other side of the Jordan. So if you can follow me, is that in the 120th year, it doesn't really reach the new year before the crossover at the Jordan, okay? That's just the first excitement of it. The other things include the almond tree, which is in early bloom, and all the white flowers are on the almond trees right now in Israel. February is like beautiful. People go out just to take pictures of all the almond trees in the almond tree patch. Then they just look at all the beautiful white almond trees behind them. And it's the first tree to bloom in the spring or in the new year. It's the first, not in the spring, but it actually blooms in the winter. And it's in full bloom January and February. The almond tree is in full bloom in white. And they celebrate what they call the birth of the trees, right? Or the birthday of the trees. So the first tree to bloom is arrayed in white, okay? So this whole thing is about that almond tree. And that almond tree representing the rapture, and that almond tree representing the menorah lamp, and that almond tree representing before Passover, before the new month, the new year of Nisan. I'm sorry if this Bible study is going to be kind of deep, but I gave you guys Bible copies, and I hope you have them. If you don't have them, get a hold of me so I can make sure you get on the list and you get these Bible studies, okay? Okay, so let me get started here. Let's get started in the Bible, okay? Let's go to the book of Luke. Okay, we're going to be in Luke chapter 21, verse 29. Okay, now you know in Matthew they say, but now consider the fig tree, right? Or look at the fig tree. And he says, all these things will not pass until then. But they only say the fig tree in the book of Matthew, okay? In Luke, they say, look at the fig tree, but then they say, and look at all of the trees. So if Israel is considered a fig tree, God is considering the whole world as being a group of trees that he planted, okay? And so all of the whole world, even there are scriptures that say that God considers men to be, Adam to be etz. Or man to be trees, you know what I mean? So he's planting us, he wants us to grow, all of these things. So I want us to make sure that we're understanding the concept of this. But listen to what it says here. It says, he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. That means all the trees of humanity. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Okay, we'll get back to that. But God is saying, understand that that the fig tree, the rebirth of the fig tree, is the tail sign to the end of the generation, okay? And so that's what we're in. There are reasons why we're so excited now, because we know that the generation doesn't last for 2 billion years.
Right.
The generation doesn't last for 150 years or 100 years, okay? We know that Psalms 90 verse 10 says 70 or 80, but in troubled times, right? So we know that this generation is running out and that we're structured and we're living right in the middle of the last generation, and we're nearly 7 years before the end of the generation of the fig tree, okay? So, as he says this, he says, now look at the fig tree and all of the trees of the earth, okay? We'll even clarify it more. Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 9. I'm gonna go to Judges. There it is. Judges chapter 9, verse 8. And it says, one day the trees went out to anoint a king for themselves. They said to the whole to the olive tree, be our king. Now, who's the olive tree? Israel. Israel is the olive tree. Because what? Christ is Jewish. The olive is the anointing. So him being a Jew became the anointing. So Israel is the olive tree. And it says, one day the trees went out to anoint a king over themselves. And they said to the olive tree, be our king. But the olive tree answered, should I give up my oil, by which both God and men are honored to hold sway to over trees. And so this, what the scripture said, Israel, it refuses to lead and guide the world because they know God, but God wants to use Israel to lead the rest of the world to God, right? Okay, or they're supposed to be the example. He told them, if you keep my ways and you keep my laws, I will make you blessed in all the world. You will be a priesthood unto me to all the world, right? But they didn't want to rule over the trees, okay? It says, next, the trees asked the fig tree, come and be our king. But the fig tree replied, should I give up my fruit so good and sweet to hold sway over trees? So Israel declines once again. It says, then the trees said to the vine, because remember, God planted a vineyard, and that's the fruit harvest. And the trees said to the vineyard or to the vine, come and be our king. But the vine answered, should I give up my wine, which cheers up God and men, to hold sway over trees? Finally, the trees asked the thorn bush. Now, who's the thorn bush? Satan. That thorn bush was burning, but wasn't being consumed. God was showing Satan his future. Okay? You're going to burn, but you're not going to be consumed. So that acacia bush or that thorn bush is Satan. So now the people of the world, and they're doing this now, they go and ask the thorn bush to rule over them. As we watch these celebrities promoting vaccine shots, it's crazy. And it says, finally, the tree said to the thorn bush, come and be our king. But the thorn bush said to the trees, If you really want to anoint me king over you and take refuge in my shade, but if not, then let fire come out of the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon. So he says, if you want Satan to be your king, and you'd have to read it in the Hebrew, he's like, Come take refuge in my darkness, in my shade, okay? If you really want me to be your king, come and let me rule over you. Come and take refuge in my darkness, in my shade, okay? And he says, otherwise, let fire come down and consume you. So Satan is not a good person, okay? But look at what Israel. Israel hasn't done the job they're supposed to, because Israel is supposed to do what? Lead us to who God is, who Yahweh is. God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel first, okay? But they refused to rule. But notice how they're saying these are the trees of the world, okay? And so the trees are asking to rule over us. There's a young lady named Ayala Ingandeshit. And she sings a song about men are trees. And it's a new song out in Israel. It's in Hebrew, though. And so many scriptures in the Bible are talking about men, how God considers us to be the trees of the world. Okay? So I want us to understand that concept, because God, on the day of birthing the trees, is the almond tree is the first tree that gets birthed. So the first tree that gets birthed is what? Arrayed in what? White. Okay? So God is, because remember, the Lord is always telling another story. Okay, so now let me read this so we get kind of like on the same hand, on the same page. Okay, for man is a tree of the field, and his branches are in heaven for the head, which is the root of man. Face forward, and this is why man is called a tree of the field, planted in heaven. Through his intellect, he is planted in his place, which if all the winds were to come and blow, they would not move him from his place. They are the first tree to blossom
which is, we're talking about the almond tree, yet the last to bear fruit. The almond tree is associated with one of the earliest prophecies of Jeremiah, okay? This prophecy uses a play on words that carry a vital truth for Israel, well as for us. The Hebrew word almond, which is sheked in Hebrew, means to watch, okay? So let's go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's see. It's Bible study, right?
Amen.
Good. I don't. Okay. Now, we're going to be in verse 11. And it says here, the word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? And he said, I see a branch of an almond tree. I replied. Now, what does almond mean? The almond, which is sheket, means in Hebrew, watch, okay? And then God answers him according. He says, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching over to see that my word is fulfilled. So God's watching his word. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? He said, I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north. The Lord said to me, from the north, disasters will be poured out on all who land. I am about to summon all the people of the northern kingdom, declared the Lord. The kings will set up their thrones at the entrance of the gate of Jerusalem. They will come against her, all surrounding walls against the town of Judah. I will pronounce my judgment on my people. You hear that? Who's pronouncing judgment on Israel? God is, okay? Who's going to start the tribulation? God is. Now listen, when he says they're going to attack, he says, I see an almond tree, okay? He says, I see an almond tree, but the almond tree, he says, now you know I'm watching over my people. He says, what do you see now? I see a boiling pot, and it's tilting from the north toward Israel. So God is saying the northern countries are gonna come and attack Israel and set up shop in Jerusalem, okay? Who was he talking about? He was talking about Babylon, okay? But was he only talking about Babylon for this time, or was he also talking about Babylon in the future? Because he's talking about both times. Now, at the time Babylon came against Israel, took them, destroyed the temple, and then took all of the Jews into Babylon, right? Now, in these latter days, as we read in, let's go to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 39. Let me see if I put that down here. Okay. Now, you got Ezekiel chapter 39? Now, 38 and 39 are both the same. They're talking about an attack that comes from Magog, okay? Magog is Russia. Many people try to defend it off and say, oh no, it means this and it means that. Magog is Russia. Rather, you say it's Georgia. All of those countries belong to Russia, okay? So he's saying your enemies are going to attack you from the north. Back then it was Babylon. But once, remember what he said, I am going to pour out my judgment on my people, right? When he pours out his judgment on his people, Babylon, but not the Babylon of old, what Babylon? Mystery Babylon. The satanic rulership of 666 is going to come against the nation of Israel. When? Not until after the church leaves, but God wants to use the almond tree to show you that he's going to remove the church first, and then at the time of the almond tree, when the almond tree is in full bloom, and then tribulation will start. And we'll continue on that to show you. In Ezekiel chapter 39, I wanted to read. Let's see, I thought I wrote it down. Okay, all right, in Ezekiel chapter 39, it says, "Son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, this is what the sovereign Lord said. I am against you, O Gog, chief of Meshech." Now, Gog is prince or leader. So this is a demonic spirit over the areas, okay? Like when David prayed, David prayed and he said, the prince of Persia withstood me. Gog is just another name for a prince or a ruler. So he's the demonic spirit that's going to be ruling over Russia at the time. And Russia is going to attack. Right after the church leaves, Gog and Magog war will happen. Then probably several wars will break out before the Antichrist comes and calms the whole world down. But Gog is going to come. But then it says that Gog is going to come from the most northern parts of Israel. So in this, because I didn't write the scripture down, in this still the trouble comes from the north, okay? The war comes from the north. So Israel is awaiting judgment. The church is awaiting to be taken out. And then now we have to see when is the church being taken out? Let's go to, that's too good for right now. Well, let's go there anyway. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. No, we can't go there yet. We can't go there. That's too good for now. Let's go to Exodus chapter 25, verse 33. Exodus chapter 25, verse 33. Thank you, Lord. Exodus 25, verse 33. Ooh, watch this, you guys. 25 verse 33. And it says here, okay, let me start at 31, okay? And it's, God is telling them to make a lampstand, okay? You know the menorah lamp that's going to be inside of the temple that represents the seven branches, which represents what? The church, right? Because we go to Revelation and then we find out that the menorah lamp is the seven lampstands or the church, okay? And then we see the seven lampstands in heaven. So we know that the seven lampstands are the church. But here's the establishment of them in the book of Exodus chapter 25, verse 31. We'll start. Make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer it out, base and shaft. Its flower-like cup, buds, and blossoms shall be of one piece, six branches to extend from the side of the lamp, three on one side and three on the other. The cup shaped like an almond flower. You see that? So not only is he making the menorah lamp, he's making it shaped in the form of what? The almond branch, okay? And then he gives further instruction, and he says, with buds and blossoms are to be on one branch, three on the next branch, And the side of all six branches extended from the lampstand. So now I'm building a lampstand, a menorah lampstand. I don't know if that, David, see if you can grab that one off of the back up there. Because not only was Moses supposed to make a menorah, that straight one right there. On the picture on the wall. Yeah, see if it'll come off. Yeah. So not only was he supposed to make a lampstand, he was supposed to engrave it to look like an almond branch. And see how it has the almond branch flowers on it? But he's almond gold. So he did exactly, this is an exact what it's supposed to look like. So you have this almond branch, you have three on this side. Now this one in the middle is the servant lamp. That represents Christ. This is where all the oil comes from. But he says, make them with, so they have the almond branches around them and it's shaped like a leaf, but you got the almond leaves on the branch. So this is one that's made just like it. Why are they making the menorah lamp? Why are they making the menorah lamp with almond branches? What does the menorah lamp represent? The church, okay? The almond branch represents the church. You could just set it down. And so I want you to make sure that you make the connection, okay? God is not doing anything just by accident, okay? Because we're in this perfect time of exiting before the new year, because we're not expecting a wheat harvest. Remember, Moses died, and before Passover, they were already on the other side of the Jordan. They had already split the sea, and they were already on the other side of Jordan before the 10th of Nisan. And it doesn't give you the date, but I'm sure it was before even Nisan started. So you're talking about ourselves and Nisan starting March 14th or March 15th would be the first day of Nisan. What the scriptures is saying is that when the almond branch is in bloom is the time that the menorah lamp is leaving. And so this is why God gives instructions to Moses to build a seven menorah lamp, but build it, make the cup of it like an almond. Make the leaves around it like almond branches. Because he's using this to show you when this exit is and when it's going to happen. Now watch this. Let's go to should we be in Jeremiah? No, that's let's go to, let me see. No, before we do that, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 1. God's like, this is the last clue. This is the last clue. Here's your exit clue. So I got to make it clear. Let's go down to Revelation chapter 1. Let's go to verse 20. It says, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand. This is Jesus talking. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. You hear that? So the seven lampstands are the seven churches, okay? Now, when you get to Revelation chapter 4, and we'll cover why the lamp and the lampstand, because the lamps, the lamp means the ore, the light. The lampstand is the vessel that the light is going to live in. Okay? So, you know, like you don't, If you have fire, you need it to be in something, right? So the lamp, God calls or, which is the light. The lampstand is the vessel that the light is going to be in. And if we continue reading in Exodus, you'll see God explaining that to him, okay? The lamp and the lampstand, make sure you put them together and put them inside of the tabernacle, okay? Here we go. Are you in 4? Revelation chapter 4? Now it says here, I'm going to start in verse 5. Because he's already in heaven, because the Lord has said, he saw a door standing open in heaven, and he heard a voice say what? Come up here. And now he finds himself in heaven, right? And then he says in verse 5, from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbling and peals of thunder. Before the throne were 7 lamps were blazing. These are the 7 spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like to be a sea of glass, clear as crystal. So now the 7 lamps are in heaven. Now, someone say, well, it says the lamps are the spirit of God. God gave the spirit to who? To the church. And guess what? There's coming a day he's going to take the spirit back to heaven. And everyone connected to his spirit is raptured. You understand? So God is trying to show you the lampstand is connected to the church. And the church and the lampstand was built perfectly the way God instructed Moses to build it. How did he instruct him? Make sure you make it look exactly like an almond cup, an almond, and make sure you put the almond leaves around it on each branch. Okay? Let's continue. Oh. Now, let's go backwards and go. Finally, we're going to get to. Nope, we can't get there yet. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, we'll start at verse 2. And then here God is again. He said, he asked me, what do you see, to Zechariah? He said, I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and 7 lights on it, with 7 channels to the light. Also, there are 2 olive trees by it. One on the right side of the bowl and one on the left. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And he answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What are you? He says, what are you? He's speaking to the mountain, meaning the trouble, right? Remember, we have faith. We can remove mountains. So he says, what are you, O mighty mountain? God speaks before Zerubbabel. You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it. God bless it. Hit the brakes. They're bringing out the capstone, and the people are praising God, saying, God bless it. God bless what? The capstone. Remember on Sunday, I showed you the dollar bill, the $1 bill. What's on top of the $1 bill? The capstone with the all-seeing eye of Lucifer or Osiris. They're saying on the back of the dollar bill that Satan is going to be the capstone and rule over the world. God has just declared in the book of Zechariah, no, the capstone is going to be praised by God's people when God brings it out and sets it there. Here, let's continue to read this. In verse 8, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you, who despise the day of small things. Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range throughout the earth." Then I asked the angel, "What are the two olive trees on the right and on the left of the lampstands?" Again I asked, "What are these two olive branches besides the two golden pipes that pour the golden oil?" And he replied, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I said. So he said, "These are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of the earth." Who are those two? The two witnesses during the tribulation. He says, "These are the two witnesses that are going to serve the Lord in the tribulation." Okay? But he wants you to know, as this is starting, what is he first going to start talking about? The seven menorah lamps. Okay? What are these seven menorah lamps? These seven menorah lamps represent what? The church. Okay? And then who is this? Zerubbabel is going to come and give the foundation of the blueprints to rebuild the temple for Christ. Okay? And then when he rebuilds the temple, they're going to put the capstone and all the people are going to bless God. Okay? So he's letting you know what the tribulation, but it begins with the seven menorah lamps. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Yes, I'm sure we can do that now. Dad, now I got to find Ecclesiastes. Where's Song of Songs? You guys. Chapter 12. Now.
Chapter 12?
Yep, chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. You didn't know Ecclesiastes had 12 chapters, right? Huh. Okay, now, I didn't. I was like, wow, that's a lot of chapters. I usually get to 3 or 4. But now listen what Ecclesiastes is saying, okay? Chapter 12, 12 chapters, government order. And here we go. Let's read this. It says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.' For the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. When the keeper of the house trembles, and the strong man stoops, when the grinder cease because they are few, and those looking through the window grow dim, when the doors to the streets are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of the bird, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of danger in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desires no longer to steer, the man goes to his eternal home." When does man go to his eternal home? Look at all the trouble that's about to happen, right? Look at all the trouble that's happening in the world. But then he says this: "When men are afraid of heights and danger is in the street, When the almond tree blossoms, that's when it happens. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is steered, then men go to their eternal homes and mourners go about in the street. So who's going to their eternal home? And who's going about in the streets? And when does it happen? When the almond tree blooms. When does the almond tree bloom? Where's mine? Here it is. In January and February, Israel's almond trees are in full bloom, coinciding with the Jewish holiday of Tu Bishvat, also known as the birthday of the trees, which this year is January through February. So the almond branches always branch when? Through January and February, they're in full bloom. These are the almond branches. These are the same almond branches that God told Moses to do what? Make sure when you make the menorah lamp, make it like an almond and make the leaves of the almond tree around the menorah and make it in gold. Then we see the almond tree is, the menorah lamp is what? Is the church. And then we see the door calling the church up to heaven, and then the seven lampstands are in heaven. But when does this happen? Now watch this. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, and the desire no longer is steered, then man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about in the street. That sounds to me like some taken and the other left. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the bucket at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. When the Holy Spirit leaves, who's leaving with him?
We are.
So here's God in the last chapter of Ezekiel, chapter 12, for governmental order, and he's saying, this happens at the time when the almond tree is blooming, and then wicked men go about the streets, okay? And it says, then the righteous are taken away. Then it says here, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. What happened at Pentecost? That's when the spirit fell upon men, right? To do what? To produce what? The menorah lamp. Because the menorah lamp is the church. So the spirit of God came on Pentecost, fell upon men. The Spirit now lives inside of us. When the Spirit came inside of us, we became the church. The church is the seven lamp menorah. The seven lamp menorah is the almond designed menorah by God for a reason. Did he just choose almonds? Did he just choose the almond tree? Now look, the almond tree doesn't last. Once its season is over, all of its leaves fall off. It doesn't give fruit until later in the year. But it's the first tree to blossom. So here we have this clue that God has given me. It's not just a menorah lamp of gold. It's a menorah lamp shaped in the form of the almond tree to give you a clue. Now, what makes this more incredible? Because of the situation that the world is in. Because we are in the 120th year and it's almost over, it ends between February and March 14th. February 14th and March 14th is the end of the 120 years. You understand? We don't have a whole bunch of time to come up with a whole bunch of different scenarios. These are the clues And these are the things that God has given us. It is the honor of God to what? Hide a thing, or the glory of God to hide a thing? And it's the honor of men to what? Of kings to search out the matter. God has given us every possible clue that we can have. And now he says, here is the last one. It's not just a menorah lamp. It's a menorah lamp shaped in the form of the first tree that blossoms out of the world, and it's arrayed in white. And I've already told you in scripture that men are the trees. And now I'm telling you that when it blossoms, at some time when it blossoms, man will go back, will go to his eternal home. And wicked people will wander the streets. And God will take back his spirit that he once gave to the earth. You understand? So this is what the last clue of this whole matter is that we can look at it as if, well, if we stretch it out 5 or 6 more months, how many more people are going to take the vaccine? Are the laws going to get better to make people take the vaccine? Are laws going to say you have to take the vaccine? What I'm saying is the church, the body of Christ, and the world has their backs against the wall. They're saying, we want to poison every human being on the planet. If God doesn't step in, all these people are like, oh, I took it. The doctor already said, within a year, that vaccine is going to show you what it does. Mm-hmm. Because what that vaccine is going to do is going to shut down your immune system. And so even if you don't get the effects now, but a lot of people are getting the effects now because their system can't take it.
Yeah.
But when people die, when you get 329 people die or 143 in Britain that die, they don't put it on the news. You don't hear nothing. All you get to see is celebrities saying, I'm doing the right thing by taking the vaccine. And then you get these doctors that have been in the field for years saying, do not do this. This is not a vaccine. It's a poison. And the Lord had me say this many months ago. Do not take any vaccine. The poison is in the vaccine.
8 minutes, Pastor.
So this is the question. This is the question. Moses dies at 120. His judgment comes. Yeshua takes over for Moses. When does Yeshua cross the people over to the promised land? Let's go to the book of Joshua. Why was my wife laughing? Did I make a crazy pause? Okay. Now watch this. Are you in the book of Joshua? Now watch this. I'm reading Joshua. And it says, when all the people finish, Joshua chapter 3 is. And the Lord says, sure, you're doing that. And nope. Yep, Joshua chapter 3. Okay? And it says here, so when the people broke camp and crossed the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is at a flood stage all during the harvest. Yet, I'm sorry, you guys. I got to be at the right scripture that said, then all the people crossed over and it was finished. Oh, here it is. Before crossing over. Nope.
goodness. Well, let's read here so I can. Crossing the Jordan, right here, the priest. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 14 of chapter 3. When the people broke camp to cross over the Jordan, the priest was carrying the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water's edge. The water from the upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarathon, while the waters were flowing down the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, where were completely cut off, and the people crossed over opposite the Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all the Israelites passed until the whole nation had completed crossing over on dry ground. So you see right there is where everybody crossed over. Who crossed them over? Joshua. Who is Joshua representing? Yeshua, okay? Because he takes over, the law is now done, which represent Moses, and now grace is now in play, and that's Jesus Christ. So now they're already crossed over into the Jordan. Now let's go to chapter 4, and let's go to verse 14. It says, the days of the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of their life, just as they did Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Testimony to come out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests come out of the Jordan. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant. No sooner had they set foot on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to its place at flood stage as it was before. Then it says in verse 19, on the 10th day of the first month, which is the 10th day of Nisan, the people went up from the Jordan and then they went to Gilgal. So they left the shore and they went up to Gilgal. So all the people had already crossed before Nisan 10th. We know that. But we don't know how soon before Nisan 10th that they crossed over. We don't know if they crossed over in Adar. But we know one thing. The almond branches are in full bloom because it's before Nisan. So when this whole thing happens, since it's so close to Nisan, the crossing over, because once they crossed over, they were already there, right? Then God says, have some of the men go back into the Jordan and gather stones and bring the stones to the shore, right? They had already crossed over. So when he tells the priest to come out of the water, this is a whole nother project. Now he's telling the priest, okay, you got the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes, come out of the Jordan. And now it says they leave the shore and they go to Gilgal, but this is before Nisan. And so it's the same as what we're facing now. And what are we facing now? We're facing the month of Adar, which Esther is telling us about. We're facing the blooming of the almond tree in the month of Adar. Another hint, right? Because we've already talked about Adar. Why is the almond tree blossoming in the month of Adar? Okay, and why is all the menorah lamp built in the form of the almond tree? And why, you know, so you have to start asking, what are all these clues that God keeps giving us about the church leaving before Nisan during the month of the almond tree blossom and all of these hints?
and all of these clues. And now we're sitting here in the midst of one of the most dangerous times in man's history. They're trying to poison you. Christians are even going to take some of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And now it's like, is God going to act, or are we going to be here for a year trying to figure out rather to say no or yes? You know, how many people are going to die before they stop doing it? How many businesses are they going to lock up before they stop doing it? What's going on? Is God about to act? But God has already told you in Scripture that He's about to act because we're past the 6,000th year. We're past the, we're in the 120th year. Now we're in the month of Adar, which is the almond tree. This is just what God has given me, is saying, this is the last clue. This is the last clue to let you know you're in this season. You're in this time. So stay ready, because the Lord is coming. Praise God.
Amen.